I was joking with somebody this week about the pulpit. I know that's an ongoing joke right now, but it's actually grace to you guys, because you guys can look in here, and if you see the pulpit, you know Pastor Sid is preaching. If you see no pulpit, no table, you know Pastor Nate's preaching. If you see this table, you know I'm preaching, so you know when to go or to come in, or you know, you can kind of figure out who you want to hear up here. So you guys are welcome. So we got a table. So you know it's me when you see this table. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I was back there just singing your praises. And Lord, as we begin today, I want to thank you because it is finished. And Lord, as we were singing praises, I felt the unity in this room, because we weren't rejoicing for what we have accomplished, but we were rejoicing for what you did accomplish. And Lord, today as we look through Philippians, that is what I want us to remember, what you accomplished and your work now in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to be picking up where Pastor Nate left off. He finished up chapter 1. This is kind of a sub-series that has been going on. Pastor Nate and I, every time we fill the pulpit, we're going to be preaching through the book of Philippians. And if you remember, the sub-series title is Joy in the Journey. And last time Pastor Nate preached, his sermon title was Walking Worthy. And we got verses like this out of his lesson, chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And he was talking about finding joy in the journey while we're suffering for Christ. And Christ living his life in and through us. And on this side of eternity, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be pain. But Paul is proclaiming the joy in the journey now. And today, as we pick up in chapter 2, I entitled today's message, United Through Humility. United with one another in the body, but ultimately united with Christ through his action of humility. And so today, I want you guys to open up, if you're using the Bibles in front of you, to page 951. But first, I want to share a story with y'all. A story about a man that I love deeply, and that, you know, I see as a man full of God's love and mercy and grace. And if you know me, you know the stories about my father. I actually had a youth group kid this week come up to me and go, "Hey, Pastor Cecil, I can't wait to meet your father because you talk so highly about him." Right? You'll probably meet him and be like, "He's not that cool." But to me, he's amazing. And my father has taught me a lot of lessons throughout my life. But when I was a kid, my biggest pet peeve over my father is I felt like he was a doormat. Really. My biggest pet peeve with him was I thought he was a doormat. I felt like everybody just walked all over him. Now, he defended our family, there's no doubt about that. But when it came to himself, he just got ran over by anybody. He took it all. He didn't complain about it. He didn't fight. But as a 16-year-old kid, I wanted him to fight. I wanted him to show me what it looked like to fight for your honor and your will and your glory. When I was 16 years old, we were going through a terrible time in our local church family. A time where there was a key person in our church family who had to be put on church discipline, and he lost his position at the church. But my dad showed him an abundance of glory, or of grace and mercy throughout that process. And I was mad at him, because this man was ridiculing my family's name throughout the community, and my dad was just full of grace. And so I have this vivid memory. I asked my dad if he remembered this, and he goes, "I do not remember that at all, but I do. I remember this story like it was yesterday. We were sitting on our front porch, and I looked at my dad full of anger, and I said, 'Dad, you're just a doormat.'" My dad, kind of with tears swelling in his eyes, looked at me and said, "Son, Jesus Christ was an illustration to us of a doormat. Who am I to not allow him to be grace and mercy and love through me. I was so mad. I said, that's the typical pastor answer, Dad. Are you kidding me right now? But looking back at that memory, he taught me an essential lesson to humility and maturity. He showed me what it looked like to be mature and humble. Mature humility is what he was illustrating to me. It was a lesson that I take today, a lesson that I wish to show my children. And it was an illustration at 16 years old of what it looked like to be humble and allow Christ to show his grace and his mercy in and through him. Now today, we're going to be picking up in chapter 2. We're going to start off in verses 1 through 2. And verses 1 through 2 say this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common shared in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." Now again, Paul was talking about suffering for the Lord. And then he goes, if you have this encouragement or this love or this compassion or this unity. Now the Greek word there is translated to if or whenever you have. So in other terms, whenever you feel love, whenever you feel a common unity with Christ, then make my joy, Paul's joy, who's sitting in a prison cell, complete by being one in the body. Having one mind, being united together. And so we see from the very start of chapter 2 that well, we see a really good point, guys. I tell you what. There we go. We see that unity with Christ produces a like-minded, loving unity with other believers. Once we are united with Christ, once we put our trust in Christ and Christ alone, and we allow him to live his life in and through us, it produces a like-minded, loving unity with other believers. It creates a oneness, but not because of y'all or because of me, but because of Christ and Christ alone. That's an amazing miracle that takes place. That since we are united with Christ, we have unity with other believers because we are the body of Christ. Unity with other believers because of our unity with Christ Jesus. Y'all, this unity is supernatural because unity is not found in this world. We are so divided in this world. Our flesh wants to divide. It wants to divide between pay ranges, positions, colors, race, financial differences. It wants to divide, 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 and it wants you to group up over here, you to group up over here, you to group over here, and groups and groups and groups. We see that in high schools. The populars, the jocks, the nerds, sorry, nerds, the kids who have great voices, whatever it might be. We want to divide, divide, divide. But you know what our church does so well of, and I am so happy to be a part of Open Door Bible Church, is that in our youth group, where there should be a lot of division, there is unity, not because there's jocks and there's geeks and whatever you want to put in there. It's because they love Jesus. That's not them doing that. That's Christ doing that in and through them. Unity with Christ produces a like-minded, loving unity with other believers. It's a miracle that we can stand in this room for different ages, different race, different points in our life, and have unity together because of Christ. Paul then goes into what it means to walk in this unity. And so in verses 3 and 4, he says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. And so in verses 3 and 4, we see this, that walking in unity means we, I got some bullet points for you guys. Now, the first bullet point is found in verse 3. Is walking in unity means we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And you go, Pastor Cecil, that's impossible. It is. That is an impossible task for y'all to do and for me to do. But the point isn't you doing it, it's Christ would dwell in you doing it in and through you. Walking in unity means we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I have a question for you guys. He's talking about unity within the body. And I was thinking about this, about unity in the body at this point in time, in this, you know, point in time in Scripture, and he's talking to the church in Philippi and what's going on this time. And I was thinking about our church age today. And my fear is that we have, and I'm not saying for this church body, but for this church around the world, we have a lot of consumers, but not a lot of givers. Let me say that again. We have a lot of consumers, but not a lot of givers. We have a lot of individuals who walk into a church that wants to gain a product and walk out and give nothing to the corporate body. Paul is not talking about this here. He's talking about unity that produces a selfless mindset because Christ living in and through him, and then the body is made up of different parts that give to one another and bounce ideas off of one another and interact with one another, and there's a unity and a oneness within the corporate body of Christ. There's not a consumer in there, but there's a ton of givers. Allowing Christ to produce love and humility and grace in and through you so you can give back to the body of Christ. Again, it's a miracle. And we can't do it, but he can in and through you. Verse 3 says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And then it goes on to say this: walking in unity means we walk in humility. It means we walk in humility. It means, like the illustration I gave at the very beginning of this lesson with my father, he was illustrating Christ, it would dwell in and through him, producing humility. What does walking in unity mean? It means we walk in humility with one another. We walk in humility. And Paul, later on, is going to show you the humility of Christ and how that can be, would dwell in us, and it can be a product of him in and through us. But he's calling us to say, hey, since this is truth, since you guys have unity in Christ, it will produce humility with others. Humility with others. Verse 3 states, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Walking in unity means we value others over ourselves. We value others over ourselves. When we walk in here, are we valuing others over ourselves? When we walk out of here, are we valuing others over ourselves? I'm not saying that you're neglecting yourself. Right? I'm not saying that you're not feeding yourself. Right? But I am saying, do you have the mindset, which is Christ's mindset, that when you walk out of this building or when you walk into this building, you're thinking of others over your own selfish ambition? You say, Cecil, that's impossible. Again, that's the point. It is impossible if you're trying to do it. These are all impossible tasks if you're trying to do it, but Christ wants to do it in and through you now. He wants to have that relationship with you now. He wants to produce this in and through you now. And the goal isn't that we're perfect, because that's impossible, but the goal is step by step, we walk into obedience and Christ produces this in and through us. And so for my goal for you guys today, my goal for me today is just step by step walking in that relationship with Christ. Because he will produce this in and through you. He will produce humility in and through you. Verse 4 states this: not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. So lastly, walking in unity means we don't look at our own interest, but the interest of others. How do we do that? Well, we walk in humility. And how do we do that? We focus our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone and allow him to produce this in and through us. There's an illustration I've given you guys probably a bunch of times from the pulpit and a bunch of times downstairs. But our Christian walk should look like our eyes focus on Jesus. And every time we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're walking in the flesh. And so the illustration goes like this: when our eyes are focused on Jesus, it's Jesus guiding us and he's producing these things in and through us. But as soon as we take our eyes down here, we're walking in the flesh and we're not producing any of these things. So my plea with everybody here today is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus and allow him to produce this in and through you. Because that's the initial design, is that the body produces this thing. The body is selfless. The body looks at others before themselves. The body walks in unity, not because we can, but because we know who our head is, and our head is Christ Jesus. And so he can, and he wants to, and he will produce this in and through you so that we can walk in humility and value others over ourselves. Next, in verse 5, is kind of the application to all this, right? I've kind of jumped there. I've illustrated keeping our eyes on Jesus, but Paul illustrates to us the application of all this. And in the NIV translation, it states this: in relationship with others, having the same mindset as Christ, right? And I like that verse in the NIV, but I actually like the New King James translation a little bit more because it kind of broadens that. And the New King James translation states this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The application is that we have access to the minds of Christ now. First Corinthians states this: for whom has known the minds of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the minds of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Unity with Christ grants us access to the same mindset as Christ. Let that sink in for a second. Unity with Christ grants us access to the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Is it sunken in? I don't feel like it's fully sunken in yet. I'm gonna read that again. Unity with Christ grants us access to the same mindset as Christ. Guys, that is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing that as we are walking with Christ, he provides us his same mindset. And as we're looking at this, we get this 1 Corinthians passage that says, but we have the same mind as Christ. And my first question when I was looking at all this is how? How is this all produced? How is this all worked out? And actually, he answers that question in verse 13. He says this: for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In the Galatians 2:20, which Pastor Nate read, is, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So how was this all accomplished? It was Christ who dwelt in and through us. And as we're walking in this Christian life, he can produce his same mindset in and through us when we walk in reliance upon him. My biggest pet peeve is that a lot of Christians today are still in the jail cell. What do you mean by that? Well, it's an old illustration. And the illustration goes something like this, where there's a man sitting in the jail cell with, you know, shackled up. Jesus walks in and he says, trust in me and me alone. Gospel message. And the person trusts in Christ and Christ alone. And then Jesus breaks him free of his chains. And he says, now follow me out of this jail cell. And I'm going to produce my mindset and my love and my grace in and through you now. On this side of heaven, through your walk with me now. And the person in the jail cell goes, nah, I'm good. I'm comfortable here. They're going to heaven. They put their trust in Christ and Christ alone, but they're not allowing Christ to produce his love and his grace in and through them. Christ wants to have that intimate relationship with you now. I'm saying now a lot on purpose because it is now. We so often think about the future and we think about when we're in eternity, but Christ wants to have that relationship with you right now. He wants to use you now. He can provide his mindset now. He wants to show you grace and love now. And he can produce that in and through you now. And he can produce humility in and through you now. Not later, now. He wants to have that relationship with us, guys. He longs to have that relationship with you, with me, with your neighbor. So why are we so comfortable in the jail cell? Christ wants to use us. He wants to show his grace. He wants to plant his mindset on us so that we live by Christ's mindset and not your own. Because trust me, you might not see it, but our mindsets, our will, is just going to lead to destruction. It is. It's going to lead to destruction. He has saved us on that cross. And now he wants to walk in an intimate relationship with you. That's an amazing thing. And through that process, he wants to unite the body. He wants the body to be thriving with one another. He wants the body to lean on one another. He wants the body to uplift one another. He wants the body to produce his likeness, his mindset, his love, because we know who our head is. Now, as a pastor, I have two missions kind of in ministry. My first mission is to proclaim and to share the good news of the cross, the gospel message. I think that should be every person in this room's kind of forefront of their brain. As a pastor, that's one of my missions. My second kind of mission is to remind believers of who they are and where they are in Christ Jesus. Because I think when we understand who we are and where we are in Christ Jesus now, that just opens up the horizon for us. We're not looking at future tense, we're looking at present. We're thinking, if you know who you are and where you are in Christ Jesus right now, because you are in Christ Jesus right now, if you have put your trust in him and him alone, if we understand that concept, then we'll open up our eyes to the possibilities of what he can produce in and through you. We're longing for this love. We're longing for this grace. We're longing for this connection. We're longing for this unity. And yet, too many of us are trying to do it on our own. But he can do it in and through you. Next, we have the how through all this. What is this mindset of Christ? And this passage is an amazing passage that we're going to work through here at the very end of this lesson. And first, we got to figure out the mindset of Christ is this, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 states this, whom being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So the mindset of Christ humbly laid down his rights for the sake of others. Let me read that verse again, verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus had the God card. He could use this God card, and he laid it down for you and I. He laid it down for you and I. And so we first see the latter rung, that he laid down his God card. In verse 7, it states this, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So second, we see this, the mindset of Christ humbly took the very nature of a servant. So first, he has the God card, he lays it down. And then he takes the very nature of a human being, and not just any human being, but a servant. He didn't take the nature of a king or a prince or a rich man, but of a servant. It gives us an illustration of how we're supposed to walk through this world with the Lord, serving others, humbling ourselves to others because it's Christ doing it in and through us. And we know this is the characteristic of Christ because he showed it in his life. Humbly laid down his rights for the sake of others. Humbly took the very nature of a servant. Of a servant. He had all the power in the world to come as whatever he wanted, but he took the very nature of a servant. And so as we look at our lives and whatever position we may be in, if we're a CEO, if we're a barista, if we're a janitor, if we're a pastor, if we're a receptionist, are we walking through that journey with Christ as a servant? Serving Christ, giving the glory back unto Christ and Christ alone? Because that is what he's going to produce in and through us. A nature of a servant who gives glory back unto God the Father. He's allowed you to be in that position to produce whatever it may be for his glory. Next, in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The mindset of Christ humbly died on the cross for the world. So first, he had the God card and he did not use it. Second, he came in the likeness of a man, not just an ordinary man, but a servant. And then he died, and not just any ordinary death, but on the cross. We're trying to run up the ladder when Christ ran down the ladder. Too many times we're trying to climb, up. When if our eyes are focused on Christ, he's going to bring us down for his glory. Like Paul expressed in chapter 1, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be suffering, but it will be all for his glory. It will be him producing it in and through us. Whatever it may be, it will be a humility and a loving nature that is out of this world and that this world cannot even comprehend because it's produced through Christ and Christ alone. His nature came down the ladder, not up the ladder. Next, we see what then God did for Christ. In verses 9 through 11, it states this: "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And so we see this at the very end of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. That being united through Christ's humility means we get to celebrate that Jesus Christ is Lord now. Are we celebrating that he is at the right hand of the Father and we are placed in him and him alone? Are we letting that dictate our actions? Are we focusing our eyes on him and him alone to produce this like-minded, loving spirit? Because he is at the right hand of the Father right now. And he wants to use you now. He wants to produce his love and his grace in and through you now. Now, like as Paul said in chapter 1, there's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering. But the whole outline of Philippians is finding joy in the journey. So as we keep our eyes set upon him and him alone, he will produce the joy. He will produce the peace. And we will find joy in the journey because of him and him alone. In closing, I want to just read the very end of Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rules and authorities, powers and dominions, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God, who placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you with a heart of thanksgiving. That not of what we have done, but which you produce every single day. And Lord, my prayer is that little by little we walk with you. Because you are the only one who can produce humility. You're the only one who can produce love and grace in and through us. And Lord, we thank you that you have died on the cross. And now that you are seated at the right hand of the Lord, and we are placed in you, who can produce all things in and through us. And Lord, as we go out today, my prayer is that we keep our eyes set upon you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.